हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वीर्यविश्वावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 12. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Because all the rules are dependent upon remembrance of Vishnu, if one remembers Vishnu, what is instructed in all the other rules is accomplished. Right? Because the rules are just to get you to remember the Lord and be absorbed in the Lord. So if you're remembering the Lord, you've already accomplished what the rules are for. Right? And because all prohibitions, such as killing cows and Brahmins, are also included in the rule to remember Vishnu. If one forgets Vishnu, that person should be considered to have accrued unlimited sins produced by committing all the prohibited acts. Satatam means every day, not every second, since continuous remembrance would be impossible to do in sadhana bhakti. This would produce loss of faith in the rules of bhakti because they would be impossible to follow. Right? So that's the idea, is that you're on a regular basis trying to remember the Lord during the day. You know, just like at three times a day, the morning, the noon, the evening, you're trying to remember the Lord. Yes. You know, yes, yes, three santyam, right? Yes. So that then is something that you can try to do. I can try to do that. Then you get busy doing this and try to remember again, then like yes. This. So then in sadhana, that would work nice. Because when you get into bhava, then it's constant. Yes. Right? So that'll come up in that discussion. Not, yes.
So this aspect of Niyamagraha, overly stressing rules, will have this problem that people may feel it's not practical. If we stress a rule beyond what it is.
Yes, then they'll think it's not practical. The same time as, or then the identification with the devotional service is done through the rule. And so the rule being there, then we identify in that way. So in the beginning, that's fine. You know, it's just like when Prabhupada started up and the devotees and how they would dress and do different things, so they would try to dress and just be just like they would see in India, the sadhus and this and that. So because they were identifying with the Vedic culture instead of the you know, their previous like culture, then that was good. But then if they think that's the devotional service and that's the symptom of it, then that's a problem. But if it's just a matter of enthusiasm, then it's fine. So it's a matter. Niyamagraha comes up when you get stuck on whatever level you're at and won't move forward. So it's either you reject the rules that will help you move forward, or you attach to the rules from the previous level, so you won't move forward. You know. Is that, yeah. One, two, nine. Thus, everyone within and outside the Varnashram system should always follow this rule concerning worship of the Lord. Although it is always to be followed as a daily duty, according to the scriptures also ascribe attractive material results for observing it, as in the case of the Ekadasi Vrata. Right? So everyone within and without. Right? So either meaning those following Varnashram, so they're nicely situated in that, following the culture and everything. Those who are above it, they're paramahamsas, and so they're only following just those aspects of the culture and all that, because they're nice to everybody, they deal nicely with everything and all that, and they just see what is pleasing to Krishna. So they're not doing anything because of Varnashram, they're doing it because it pleases Krishna, so they're beyond that way. Varnashram means that you're doing it because it's the rule in Varnashram. Above it means you may be following the rule, but it's not because it's Varnashram, it's because it pleases Krishna. right? Then you'll have those below Varnashram, which they may not be following all the things, but they're trying to do their best in what they understand in the direct activities of doing things for Krishna.
Yes.
You had a question?
This is committed unlimited sins means if you're not thinking about Vishnu means you will do these things or just not thinking about Vishnu committing sins.
No, it just means that if you're not remembering the Lord, what can't you do? You know, it means they may be nice today, but give them some time. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada. This regulative principle is applicable to all varnas and ashrams. The castes and occupations of life. There are four varnas, namely the brahmanas, priests and intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warriors and statesmen, the vaishyas, businessmen and farmers, and the shudras, laborers and servants. There are also four standard ashrams, namely brahmacharya, student life, grihastha, householder, vanaprastha, retired, and sannyas, renounced. The regulative principles are not only for the brahmacharya, celibate students to follow, but are applicable for all. It doesn't matter whether one is a beginner, a brahmacharya, or is very advanced, a sannyasi. The principle of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly, not forgetting Him at any moment, is meant to be followed by everyone without fail. So that's the point. It's always there for everyone. And we see here is that we're not worried about these. They're talking about getting people out of just following Varnashram and being pious, and that's why they're doing it. And so, therefore, then they ascribe attractive material results for observing, you know, as in the case of Ekadasi Vrata and that. Like you see Ekadasi Mahatmya. That book's been put together to attract those who are pious and like to follow vows. Like, you know, that they'll follow like Shiva Ratri and Navaratri and all these kind of things because of their piety and in their tradition, but they may not be following Ekadasi. So to get them to follow Ekadasi, then you present these things. They're true, but that's, the devotees don't follow Ekadasi for those benefits. So that's why for us, if we know or don't know the benefits, it really doesn't matter. So it's not something I'm missing out. No, it's just, does that make sense? Yeah.
Why is so important Ekadasi? That is the only thing that Lord Chaitanya asked to his mother to follow.
Because it's very pleasing to Krishna. So the whole idea is you're trying to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. So therefore, then Ekadasi is pleasing to Krishna. Because then it's a day where you're just focused on the devotion and, you know, there's all considerations of things. Because generally, you just eat whatever you want, how much, everything like that. So on this day, you're careful about that. Because if you're careful about that, if you're careful on what you're eating, it also then affects sleeping, it affects what you're going to talk about, and, you know, all these things become things. So it's just, the idea is that day is meant for focusing on devotion. You should focus every day, but at least, you know, once, you know, twice a month you should focus. You know.
All right. Aspect of like Ekadasi, we find in Bhagavatam, we find like the whole pure philosophy connected to Krishna and other sattvic scriptures, I mean those in mode of goodness, they contain these aspects which are directed towards Vishnu, but these are like the secondary rules as it's there. And then we find more in the like the Rajasic and Tamasic, the rule itself, which may or may not be connected directly to the Vishnu, but maybe demigod, but it is progressive, that's fine.
Yes, the whole idea is the Vedic culture is progressive. Mm-hmm. That's why if somebody's a demigod worshipper, we don't discourage them from doing that. We just show that how the benefits you get from there, then you'll get in the Supreme Lord. So in other words, moving forward. But if we just criticize them and don't show them the benefit of worshipping the Lord, then they'll give up that demigod worship, now they'll have nothing. So the idea is that someone's doing something that's, that the principle of it's recommended, though the direction and that's not, then, you know, just like someone may be taking care nicely of the family, but the point now they have to learn how that's in connection with Krishna. Not that, oh, that's all Maya. Because then we see is by that kind of idea is that if it's not direct devotional service, anything that's indirect, it's just automatically Maya. Then the point comes up is then either you stay a brahmachari, or, you know, and then you engage in direct activities, or if you get married, then okay, you have some sadhana, and then there's no concept of connecting the indirect, because it's just all been defined as Maya. But the point is it's wherever position you're at, it's to be all connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So if that's appreciated, then it's wherever is good for you to be situated, that's where you situate yourself. So someone's better as a brahmachari, someone's better as a grihastha, someone's better. Just you situate yourself accordingly. There's not a problem. The difficulty comes is that direct is devotional service, and indirect doesn't have the possibility, it's all Maya. Then that's the, you know, so it takes on that aspect of anything karma is Maya. In the Jnana Yoga, everything in karma is Maya. You know, but the point is if someone's qualified for karma yoga, they should be doing karma yoga. And then if in the future they become qualified for Jnana Yoga, then they do that. Does that make sense? You know, just like the brahmachari. He may be going along nicely there and qualify, and he may be able to stay nicely his whole life, and it works for him. But you find some, after training for some time, then they find that they'd rather be married. You know? And so then, naturally, that training that they had will then be the basis of the success as a householder. Does that make sense? So it's just whatever works for someone to be situated, that's where you want to be situated. So Maya is not being situated according to your nature. Right? Not, this is Maya and that's not, unless, you know, of course the scriptures say. Does that make sense? So you see it talks about you should have this knowledge about Krishna and this and that. At the same time, it'll say scholars can't know Krishna. Right? So it's not that scholarship is how you know Krishna, it's devotion. So you're just expressing your devotion through scholarship. Right? Family life, you're expressing that, but otherwise the family life is called the dark well. So if you're not thinking of Krishna, it's a dark well. And if you're thinking of Krishna, then it's how you progress. So that's the whole point, is that if it's used properly, it's nice. You know, it's just like the frying pan. You use it for cooking, it's nice. You use it to bang nails into the wall to hang pictures, that's not.
Right? So, in the devotional scriptures, this point is very much emphatically spoken out, that the devotional service to the Lord should be the focus.
Yes.
But in other scriptures, the whole format is given, but it is not spoken so that people, everybody can...
Yes, so it means the Vedic culture is designed so everyone can take part. But the problem is the ones who know how to use that so that everyone can take part is only actually the devotees. Because people being focused on the secondary aspects, these indirect aspects, then if that's all you know, then it's all in the quality of the secondary that makes higher and lower. Rather than, but for devotees, they understand higher and lower is how much it's useful in devotional service or how much it's not. Right? So that is the aspect. Then they can see is what is the essence of what's going on. That part's connected to the Lord. But at the same time is, it's only indirectly connected, because these people are only knowing the indirect. They don't know how it's connected to the Lord. The Vaishnavas do. So then they can operate the system nicely. Those who aren't devotees, they actually can't operate it so well. Right? So then one needs that direction of the Vaishnavas so that then everybody can be engaged within the Vedic system according to their position, and it be progressive towards devotional service. Otherwise, then you get so much difficulty come up. There's material, you know, if they're materialists, they're following the Vedic system. And so it's just the rules and the form of it that makes it higher and lower. Which does have some element, only because of its connection to Krishna. Right? It means like the Brahmin. Okay, they're higher because of that connection to Krishna. Whether they're devotees or not, but they'll be worshipping Vishnu, they've learned the Shastras, they'll be maintaining the Dharma and all those kind of things. So that is the position that's ideal for devotional service. And so of all the Varnas, it's the best. in that way, because it's closer to the nature of devotional service. Then the Kshatriya is next, because now you organize everything so that everybody can follow that lifestyle and be engaged in devotional service. Right? Then the next down is Vaishyas. If you have the economics, then you have the facilities in which now you can be organized so that you can be engaged in Krishna service. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And then the Shudras, then down that, because they assist in doing the, you know, getting the needful done so that these other three can go on. Right, so there's a hierarchy there, but it's only because of its in connection with Krishna. On the material platform, they'll just take it, you know, Shastra, I'm a Brahmin, so I'm the best. But why Brahmin's best? Right, because in the modern, because that understanding and faith is not there, then we see it goes and it's who has money or who has power, they're the best. It doesn't matter anything else. Right, someone has less money but more power, then he's good. Someone has more money, and with that he gets things done, then he's more important than the guy who has power. Right? Because he can get more done with his money. Mm-hmm. It's just so, it's not about that. Or you have the person who, let's say, they start up a, some kind of social agitation. So, they don't have money and influence, nobody cares. But if they're able to have money and influence, then people care. Like you have a bunch of guys with doing nothing, nothing seemed to be more valuable in life to do than create trouble. And generally no one would care about them. But you get, you know, hundreds of thousands of them together, they put on yellow vests, and then they sit down there in, what do you call it? Champs-Élysées, you know. Yeah, and then now people listen because they're having influence. They won't go away. They got the media. They got that. So they have influence, even though they have no money, and every one of them on their own, probably completely useless. But you group them together, then they get fired up. Yeah, so that kind of a thing. So either from the intellectuals or from the Shudra, from, you know, something that they, so that's the problem, is it's not defined by its usefulness in devotional service. So the Shastra is always defining it that way. Whether it will be directly defined or not, that's the Bhagavatam. Every verse defines it that way. While the other scriptures, the Sattvic will mention about it, but you know, on a regular basis, but not as much as Bhagavatam, so it doesn't become obvious. And then as you go down from there, then they won't even notice. They'll be, you know, they'll be approaching Guru, they'll be like, not Hayagriva, Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, Hiranyakashipu. So, Hiranyakashipu, he's going to the forest, doing austerities, following all the rules for austerities. He's not there, you know, standing on his, you know, how you say, you know, there with his hands up in the air doing his austerities, but he has a servant feeding him, you know, all kinds of nice food from the palace, you know, like that.
He's not modern politician.
Huh?
Modern politician.
Yeah, like that. They're doing the fast and all that, and everyone's coming, and all this and that, and then they go to the bathroom while they're there. They're doing yeah, like that. So, yes. Yes, they're not doing that. So he's following that. He's worshiping Brahma. He's getting his mercy. He's getting his blessings. So that aspect is proper. But the point is what he's using it for and what he does with those benedictions, now that's a problem. So that's the whole thing, is they may be following the form that's useful, but what they'll do with it makes trouble. Or people are following the form, and then because of that, their pride, and they identify with it, and so therefore this one's better than that one, and all these different things. Like you had with Ramanujacharya's wife. Because Ramanujacharya, they're from a very, I think, the, you know, top Brahmin family, but I think maybe it was his, yeah, then his guru's, his position was actually, Brahmin, you know, by that social standing, less. And so then Ramanujacharya's wife insulted his guru's wife and all that. And, you know, so these kind of things come up because of that external identification. Well, you're supposed to use it, not identify with it. You're like, you know, a cook, you use the kitchen, you don't identify. As soon as you identify, that's when it starts getting weird. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like the guy's there, he's cooking, he's coming up, he's doing amazing things, everyone's coming from all over to come and eat his stuff. And until this such time he becomes established, now he identifies with it. And then you'll see you don't hear about him anymore. Because the consciousness goes, it doesn't have that inspiration, it's not new. He'll do far out stuff and this and that, but he has to maintain his position. Well, before he had no position, he just cooked.
So he can't understand he's starving.
This has to go
by. Yeah. You know, so all that, but after a while, he's the big guy. You know? So, so that's the problem. As soon as there's identity with these things, that's where the problem comes. But acceptance of duties, that's what you want to do. So you're trying to get them to accept the duties, so then they identify, that the only way they'll do it is to identify. So in the beginning they do, but then when that gets too out of balance, it creates trouble. It's supposed to be as you may identify with it, and therefore you'll do it, but as you get purified, you stop identifying with it. But that'll only happen in devotional service. So that's why without contact of Vaishnavas, then the whole Vedic system won't work at its best. But even at its non-best, it's still better than whatever is non-Vedic. Because for them, it's just like you have the Kali worshipper. You know, say what you want about the Kali worshippers. But in the morning, they're up. They're doing the puja. They take their bath. They're doing the puja. They're reading the scriptures. They're doing all these different things. So they're better. You know? So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, the father said, I think it's Bengali saying, mora hati lak taka. Like that. You might have to change the rate on how much an elephant costs these days. It means an elephant, dead or alive, is of value. Because alive, they're an elephant, they're of value, they do whatever they do. But if they're dead, their bones are ivory. So they're still worth the same amount. Right? Somebody says? You want to buy the live elephant, it costs one thing. You want to buy his bones and he's dead, it costs you the same amount. Right? So that's the thing, is even the skeleton of the Vedic culture is still more valuable than anything else. Mm-hmm. Even we say, oh no, it's gone, it's this and that, still the skeleton is the value. So that's why we that's why it's used. It's a superior system. It's given by Krishna. It's a better system. Okay. Yes.
In the Vedic culture, it seems that people are reading or studying the scripture.
Yes, it's part, because it's part of the, means your debt to the sages is paid by studying scriptures.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Yes. The demigods by doing sacrifice, you know, the Brahmins by giving charity, the others by proper dealings and everything like that.
It means it's for everyone.
Yes. Yes, studying's for everybody. Okay. That the brahmachari then, of course, is studying. That's his thing. But the grihastha is meant to study also. You know, because otherwise, why is the grihastha more considered in a more respectable position? Because they've taken up all these duties and they're continuing those same things. You know, it's just like the brahmacharis, they come into a room and leave the door open. Right? Grihasthas go in and then they come out, they close the door. Therefore, they're respectable. Because it's like they do stuff brahmacharis can never do. Well, close the door? Who does that? Door? What door? There was a door? Yeah, you see that thing there? Oh, yeah. I always wonder. It always gets in the way. Why is it there? Yeah.
Another question is bring back to next time again we come.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going out and I'll come back after, you know, 10 minutes and that, and so yeah. Yes, okay. 1:2, 10:11. In the 11th canto is expressed clearly that Vaidhi Bhakti should be followed by all varnas and ashrams. Each of the four social orders, headed by the brahmanas, was born through different combinations of the modes of nature, from the face, arms, thighs, and feet of the Supreme Lord in His universal form. Right? So it's all coming from the Lord. So you can easily remember in these things. Thus, the four spiritual orders were also generated. If any of the members of the four varnas and four ashrams fail to worship or intentionally disrespect the personality of Godhead, who is the source of their own creation, they will fall down from their position into a hellish state of life. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.2-3. So everybody can be involved because it all comes from the Lord. There's nothing that's not, so you just have to appreciate that. Even if it's through your social or, you know, or, how you say, social or spiritual position, then still it's going to be according to its connection to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. If this injunction is followed, then all other rules and regulations will automatically fall into line. Right? So in other words, if you're always seeing everything about the Lord and worshiping the Lord, all the other rules fall into place, as we were discussing before. The Varnashram system falls into place, the Vedic system, when it's brought in line with devotional service. If it's not in line, then it'll have all the difficulties that material life has with it. You know, the false pride and all these different things. All other rules and regulations should be treated as assistants or servants of this one basic principle. The injunctions of rules and regulations and their resultant reactions are mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. Chamasamuni, one of the nine sages who came to instruct King Nimi, addressed the king and said, quote, "The four social orders, namely the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, have come out of the different parts of the universal form of the Lord as follows. The Brahmins have come out of the head, the Kshatriyas have come out of the arms, the Vaishyas have come out of the waist, and the Shudras have come out of the legs. Similarly, the Sannyasis have come out of the head, the Vanaprasas from the arms, the Grihasthas from the waist, and the Brahmacharis from the legs. These different orders of society and grades of spiritual advancement are conceived in terms of qualification. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13 that the four social orders and the four spiritual orders are created by the Lord Himself in terms of different individual qualities. As the different parts of the body have different types of activities, so the social orders and spiritual orders also have different types of activities in terms of qualification and position. The target of these activities, however, is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, quote, "He is the supreme enjoyer," end quote. So, whether one is a Brahmana or a Shudra, one has to satisfy the Supreme Lord by one's activities. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13 by a verse which reads, quote, "Everyone must be engaged in this particular duty, but the perfection of such work should be tested by how far the Lord is satisfied with such activities." That's the whole point. It's the Lord's, His satisfaction. That's how you test it, not by how efficient it was according to our idea. It's how much is it pleasing to the Lord. Right? So then the Lord tells how things work that is pleasing to Him. Like the devotees working together, being engaged, all these different things. So then that's the judge. Right? If that's what you're looking at, then it will make all the other things work very nicely. Yes.
How can you tell if it pleases the Lord?
How is it pleasing to the Vaishnavas?
Okay, if other Vaishnavas are happy.
Yeah, especially senior Vaishnavas.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so you find all the new Bhaktas are happy, but none of the senior Vaishnavas are happy.
True seniors.
Yeah, but you also check, you know, the point is this: when you please Krishna, everybody can be happy.
Yeah, but it has to be seniors.
Means you have to see that it's them. You know, if we say that, okay, we'll be serving halava at midnight, you know, like that, the brahmacharis may be very enthusiastic, but the, you know, the senior devotees may think, that may not work out so good, you know. Until the brahmacharis explain, no, we're getting up, eating the halava, and then we're going to chant, you know, 64 rounds before Mangal Arati. Then, okay, why not? Right, but there's a good chance that's not going to happen, so. Therefore, none of our temples serve halava at midnight, except on Janmashtami, and then generally then, you know, if you're following Anakalpa, then even that doesn't happen.
So.
Gajra halava. Gajra halava, yes, okay. See, we have found the solution. So all parties are happy. What was that word that Shiva Goswami used? Harmonize. Yeah, harmonizing all the elements.
Thank you.
The injunction here is that one has to act according to his position, right? So you're acting by your position. And by such activities, one must either satisfy the Supreme Personality or else fall down from one's position, right? Because you have your position, you have to perform the duties of your position. That's why it says don't do someone else's duties, because you have to please the Lord through your duties. For example, a Brahmana who is born out of the head of the Lord has as his business to preach the transcendental Vedic sounds, or Shabda Brahma. Because the Brahmana is the head, he has to preach the transcendental sound. And he has to eat on behalf of the Supreme Lord. According to Vedic injunctions, when a Brahman eats, it is to be understood that the personality of Godhead is eating through him. It is not, however, that the Brahman should simply eat on behalf of the Lord and not preach the message of Bhagavad Gita to the world. Right? So you have to see that you're balancing both of these aspects.
Brahmana Bhojana Priya.
Yes, Brahmana Bhojana Priya. Actually, one who preaches the message of the Gita is very dear to Krishna, as is confirmed in Gita itself, 1869. Such a preacher is factually a Brahmana. And thus, by feeding him, one feeds the Supreme Lord directly. So that's then these three, is that engaged in devotional service, by that especially then this preaching aspect or anything connected with that, then that makes it work very nicely. Right?
It's mainly like, you know, you're feeding him and you're respecting that aspect, that which is connected to the Lord is our focus.
Yes, yes. Because they're representing the Lord. They're coming speaking about the Lord, and so that therefore then. But at the same time, it's not that we don't feed anybody else. Yeah. We only feed the Brahmin and no one else gets any food. So. But that is then, you see, it's that. The other is then you're distributing prasad that's been offered to the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
So in any case, everybody gets benefit. That's the perfection of Krishna consciousness, that everybody, it's good for everybody, not just, you know, the certain individuals. But, yeah. Similarly, the Kshatriya has to protect people from the onslaughts of Maya. That is his duty. For example, as soon as Maharaj Parikit saw that a black man was attempting to kill a cow, he immediately took his sword, wanting to kill the black man, whose name was Kali. That is the Kshatriya's duty. Violence is required in order to give protection. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna directly gave his order to Arjuna to commit violence on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just to give protection to the people in general. Right, so that's the whole thing, is that onslaughts of Maya means how they'll get distracted. So you have to arrange the situation to bring it so they're not distracted, even if that means for the Kshatriyas they have to use violence.
Yes.
The vices are meant for producing agricultural products, trading them, and distributing them. And the working class, the Shudras, are those who haven't the intelligence of the Brahmins or Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas, and therefore they are meant to help these higher classes by bodily labor. Right? They don't have that kind of intelligence. It doesn't mean they're not intelligent. It means they don't have the intelligence about the preaching, they don't have it about how administration or about how to make money.
Yes.
But they have intelligence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like all the guys that have MBAs, they have to be intelligent. It's an 18-month course. Right? And you get into it because you've already done a BA.
Yes.
Right? So that means they have brains, but they don't have the brains to make money. The MBA can't make a cent. He can get a good job, but he can't run a company. He can't run the business. So he doesn't have that kind of brain. He doesn't know how to administrate. He doesn't have that kind of brain. Yeah.
Many times we see these guys, they get paid a lot by a big businessman, and after some time some of the people, they feel that, okay, now we'll start our business because I have money. Puts all the money and loses everything.
Yeah, yeah, like that. No, because they don't know how to make money. They know how to work for somebody who... So the higher your qualification, the higher the qualification of the Vaishya you can work for. In other words, the MBA is not going to be working for the Panwala on the corner. Right? Unless, of course, it's something that you don't know, that Panwala has 100,000 franchises all over India. Like that. For a specially patented, you know, pan recipe. Like that. Then he can work. But other than that, no. He's going to work for, you know, an industrialist or something like that. Yeah. But that's exactly the point that Krishna makes.
We see here, like, the Vedic culture, it allows us to focus on one aspect which we are dealing at a time. Like,
yes.
The Kshatriya focus on protection. He's not worried about generating money, he's not worried about the spiritual aspect. So, of course, that keeps like things easy.
Yes, so specialization is a Vedic thing. It's being seen now as, oh, now you specialize and all that. The general education that they're complaining about, that was Western. The Vedic, it's always specialization. You learn general knowledge, but then you specialize.
Mm-hmm. Because the current system demands that you need to specialize all three aspects if you are supposed to be called as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Brahmana, Kshatriya, you have to be Brahmana, you have to be Kshatriya, you have to be Vaishya, and if nobody is there, you have to do all the things.
Yeah. But then,
it never was.
Yes. And the person who's telling him he has to do all those things, then is technically making him into a Shudra.
Yes.
So he's the CEO, so you think he's the businessman, but he's the CEO's a Shudra for the company. Like that. He's just a Shudra who knows how to work with money. Well, that's the problem.
So you do all four aspects, give the results to me.
Yes. Not Krishna. If that verse was spoken by Krishna, then it would be good, right? But it's not. It's spoken by the board of directors, you know, and specifically the chairman. Yes. In this way, there's full cooperation and spiritual advancement among all different orders of society. Because they're each specialized in an area, so they cooperate together. Just like, let's say you have a big feast that you're preparing.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's so many preparations, then a bunch of devotees get together.
Yeah.
Then each one takes a different thing, each one an aspect, and that way they work together, and then you have this wonderful feast.
Yes.
Right? But if each one of them has to do everything, then it's going to be a problem. Like that. And when there is no such cooperation, the members of society will fall down. That is the present position in the Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel. Nobody is doing his duty, and everyone is simply puffed up by calling himself a Brahmin, intellectual, or a Kshatriya, soldier, or statesman. But actually, such people are without status. They are out of touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are not Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Krishna conscious movement is intended to set the whole of human society in proper conditions so that everyone will be happy and take profit from developing Krishna consciousness. Right? So these points that Prabhupada says Krishna movement is intended for these particular things. So that then you have to see is that, like you were saying before, those seven purposes, they'll be in pursuance of this. And so now and again Prabhupada will make these points. They're all just what you're trying to do by those. Okay. Lord Sri Krishna instructed Uddhava that by following the injunctions of the social and spiritual orders of human society, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a result of such satisfaction, the whole society gets all the necessities of life amply and without difficulty. Because if you're absorbed in Krishna consciousness and do your duties, everyone works together, all what is necessary comes automatically. And so everybody, one, you're more spiritual, so you're satisfied with what you require, you're not greedy. And so then it all works. But in the modern context, then it's just a matter of who's got more greed. And so then it's just a matter of there's wastage and there's loss and there's all these different things. Right? As long as they make profit, then they don't care what happens to everyone else.
Maharaj, even on a technical sense, this works that if we are not greedy, we take as much as required, we follow the natural system as it is, because of which the whole nature also, like if you are using natural products, doing natural things, the nature also will cooperate.
Yes, yes.
Even on a material, mundane platform.
Yes. Yeah, well, because they always come back.
Yeah.
Because the laws of nature are there. And they tried since the 50s doing everything artificially.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, that's just the... Now they're back to that. It just took them, you know, 50 years, 60 years, like that. You know, so that's the thing. Is they can try other things, but it'll never work. So, therefore, the Vedic system, why not use it now? Then it works now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurabhaya.